Welcome to the Christian Youth Camp Podcast. At Camp Chioka, it has been our mission for over 50 years to lead campers into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. These conversations share the heart of our camp family in efforts to lead us all into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Today on the Christian Youth Camp Podcast, we have Sadie Robertson Huff, who shares some major truth and encouragement. She grew up going to camp every year, and this is where her relationship with Jesus really took off. She learned that it's when things are stripped away that we learn that Jesus is a savior and not a superhero. Sadie shared her heart for overcoming fear and fully pursuing the Lord beyond that. Sadie is passionate about the gifts of youth and the opportunity of formation in college years. This was super encouraging and inspiring for me, so grab a pen and take some notes. So we have Sadie Robertson on the podcast today. Sadie, what has your experience with camp been?
Gosh, my experience at camp is literally like my first half of my life because my mom literally had me in the hospital in June and then brought me straight to Camp Chioka before she even brought me home. And so camp has like always been part of my life. I lived here, was baptized here. So this is like where most...
Reeves says hi.
Reeves, oh my gosh. But this is just where most of my life happened. It's where I found Jesus for sure. It means a lot to me. It's really cool. Even it holds some significance that like when I started dating Christian, I was like, I want to bring you to camp. But it was like a big moment. Like this is that place for me. It's just a sweet place. A sweet place where Jesus is.
Also, I realized I said Robertson. I forgot you're married.
I know. I still say that too. Yeah. I still say it. Like the other day, I was like, hey, Sadie Robertson.
Sorry, Christian. I know.
It's crazy.
That's funny. So you were saying that this is kind of where you grew up. And what did growing up in the Lord look like to you? What did that mean to you?
Yeah. So it's really cool because I was always surrounded by like a lot of older people that love Jesus, right? Mm. Like my family loved Jesus. My friends loved Jesus. I was like the little kid who like went to every camp session because I lived here. So I was like always with the older counselors. I remember like sleeping in their bed with them. Like when they would be like high school, there'd be all the high school campers, I go sleep in the counselor's bed. So I was just here. And so I grew up, you know, being surrounded by the Lord. But it's really cool. I think when I was like 13, which I know is young to some people, but already, you know, has a different story. I remember being here 1 year and being like, okay, wow, like this is actually becoming real in my own personal life and individual life. I remember just crying and two mama was there hugging me. And I was like, I want to be baptized. And I was baptized and then really just got serious about my faith. Just kind of was like, okay, this is not just like, there's a reason why you're so happy at camp. There's a reason why you feel so much peace. There's a reason why you feel so much joy. And that's because you are focusing on Jesus. And so for me, it was that, how do I take that happiness and that peace and that relational aspect that I feel at camp out of camp? Yes. And that's with the Lord, with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus. And so camp has really taught me how to cultivate a relationship with God, but then also how to take it with me out the long gravel road.
The past the driveway.
Yeah, with a million speed bumps.
So, we love this, especially that first one that goes down.
Oh, it gets me. Yeah, it's like stomach drops.
But we have a lot of campers who are baptized here every year, and they go back to their regular everyday lives and just become really discouraged. What would you say to them when they're feeling distant and kind of questioning?
It's good. I think a lot of people have a false expectation on what it looks like when you give your life to Jesus. I think a lot of people want them. This is what I told somebody the other day. He's not a superhero, okay? Yes. He's a savior. Two different things. Superhero shows up and makes everything okay. The savior shows up and like actually saves you from eternal death. Like actually saves your soul, gives you salvation. That does not mean that everything's going to be perfect. That means though that when things are hard, you have a strength. When things get, you know, rocky, you have a peace. When things are like looking bad, you have joy. Like that's what a savior does. That doesn't mean he's just going to keep rescuing you from hard moments. And so I think the expectation is that I got baptized. I made Jesus my Lord and Savior, but where is he whenever I went back to school? And he's still right there. He's in your heart. He's dwelling within you. But that doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden immune to bad things or tough things aren't going to happen, or people aren't going to make fun of you, or you're going to be tempted by sin, because even Jesus was tempted. I mean, shoot, right after he got baptized, he went and was, like, tested for 40 days. Like, of course, like, right after you have that moment, even, like, what happened to Jesus, you're going to be tested. You're going to have trials. But it's in those moments that you can really see, was that real? Was that profession of faith actually real in my own life and in my own heart, and just not expecting him and your life to be perfect, even though he is perfect. He's going to be perfect in you through the hard moments of life.
Because in our weaknesses, Christ is magnified.
Exactly.
And I think that we focus so much on restoration and wanting that harmony and that union, but that's with the Father. It's not with the world.
Yes.
Like, we're not being restored to union with the world.
It's not the world. Like, in life, we will face trials of any kind. And, like, it's heaven is our home. And so just remind yourself, like, this world is not my home. And being willing to just humble yourself enough to know that, like, things are going to happen. Mistakes are going to happen. You're not going to be perfect after this. But that doesn't mean that you turn your back on God, because, like, you're taking it out on the wrong person.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. So talking about the desert, you were saying that camp taught you to be stripped of things and still have a relationship with Jesus. What does that mean to you, and how have you seen that play out?
I think a lot of people these days, and I think I fall into this at times too, and this is what camp has really taught me, is that, like, you don't need anything other than your heart to get to Jesus. Like, you don't need a stage to be set properly. You don't need lights to be done. You don't need the worship music to be loud enough. You don't need the people in your life to be strong enough. Like, you need your heart and the Father. And I think camp really teaches you that, because you're in the woods. It strips you back of, like, everything. But yet, like I was talking about earlier, you feel the fruits of Jesus. You feel that peace. You feel that joy. You feel all of the things that God promises that he is. You feel so loved. And you find that in a place that is literally the woods. And then you realize, okay, God, if you show up to me here, then you can show up to me in my car. Then you can show up to me in my home. And I think it's really cool to just strip everything back and just have Jesus and see that that's more fulfilling than anything that you could ever have.
Absolutely. And when you're out on tour and when you're out doing all these things, how do you keep that simplicity of just Jesus? Because I'm sure it can be distracting and overwhelming.
For sure. I mean, you know, tour is crazy and conferences are crazy and they're amazing because they serve the purpose of getting the word out. But at the end of the day, I think what keeps me even just desiring the simplicity of it is because it's in the simplicity of it is actually the power of it.
Yeah.
If you get distracted by the lights, then, like, for me personally, like, if I created a tour that was so distracting from Jesus, I failed. Like, if people walk away and say, man, those lights were great, and didn't say, like, I encountered Jesus, fail. Like, that's just not what I'm here to do. Like, the Great Commission is, like, go and make disciples. I'm not going to make an entertaining situation. Yes. I'm going to make disciples. And so I think holding that simplicity is just thinking, like, okay, how do we come here and, like, make it a great experience, but make the main thing the main thing?
Yes.
Like, if anything's heard, it better be Jesus, because ultimately that's the only thing that's going to change people's life. And so I think just from what I've experienced here in the simplicity and the power of what God can do in your heart, I want to create that in other spaces. And that might look different. You know, there might be lights and there might be sound and all of this other stuff, but it can't be louder or brighter than the focus on what you're there to do, which
Absolutely.
Is to bring people to the Lord.
And I know that sometimes as counselors, we get overwhelmed when we feel like we're not being effective or a camper's heart is too hard and that our words aren't falling on good soil. And I'm sure you encounter that too in frustration with yourself. How do you remind yourself that it's God who changes lives, not us?
Yeah, so good. I find a lot of hope in Jesus actually did the same thing. He would go to so many places. Just like one day, just read through the Gospels just in like a day, or read through like John or Matthew individually. When you read through it, it's so crazy. Like, Jesus went to these places. Jesus, Son of God himself, preaching. Probably best preacher ever, arguably. Yes. Like, literally spitting fire.
I would say so.
Yeah, and half the people didn't care, didn't pay attention, didn't believe. I mean, every time it would be like, and the people were divided among them, because one half of people would believe and the other half of people wouldn't. And it's like, okay, well, even Jesus couldn't preach a message that every single person was like here for. Why? Because people's hearts are hard. Because people have sin in their life, that people have been abused, people have been hurt, people, and they can't let themselves, you know, let it go and say, all right, I need you, Jesus. And if you're able to surrender that control and say, all right, yes, like, this happened to me and it was unfair and sin happened and I shouldn't have done it and all these different things, but I have a Savior who will redeem all those things, then like any person will be welcome into the kingdom of God. I believe any person will be accepted, any person will be loved, but it takes that person. You see, like, you can only do what you can do. Jesus even himself only did what he could do in the moment. But ultimately, it's up to people to decide. And I think that's the greatest act of love, is that, like, God, who loves us so much, gave us choice to love him back and to accept him back. It's just mind-blowing to me.
It really is. I was talking about that with a friend this morning. There's so many times in the Gospels where he says, is this a hard saying? Are you offended by this?
Yeah.
And people are like, well, yeah, like, it is a hard saying.
I mean, think about it. Even the like on the Mount of Beatitudes, Jesus walks up and he's like, blessed are the poor. He literally said it. Everything that he said was completely contrary to what everybody thought.
Yes.
So, of course, it's going to offend people. Of course, people aren't going to be down for it. If you said something that was completely contrary to everything that the world believed, it'd be like, hold up, wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Takes a minute.
And I know a lot of the times preaching and loving young people can be hard because you want to make the gospel sound super appealing and easy and, like, you don't really have to change and all these things. Yeah. So what have you found the importance of influencing young people and also being straightforward and speaking truth?
To me, I'm a 6 on the Enneagram.
Me too.
Are you really?
Yes.
That's amazing. What week?
7.
Me too.
Like, mistaken for 7 most of the time.
Me too. Everybody thinks I'm a 7. I'm like, I'm not.
I think we hide ourselves as our wing.
We do. Yes. I totally do. That is so cool. I am a 6. I'm a loyalist. I will keep it real with you all day long. I think to love people, the best is to tell them the truth. I told Christian when we first started, I was like, the thing that would drive me the craziest that you could ever do to me is lie to me about anything. Like, just don't lie. Like, keep it straight up because I will figure it out. And so, like, for me, like, don't sugarcoat the gospel. Don't lie because they're going to figure it out. Like, if you lead people to the Bible and they read the Bible, they're going to figure out the truth because it's plain as day.
Yes.
And I think to me, the way that you don't, you know, as a leader and as an influencer, the way that you don't get off track is you have to love the Bible. You have to love the Word.
Yeah.
You have to believe it with everything in you. And to be honest, the Word as the Word is enough for me to get so excited about and love that I want to preach it to people. I don't need to change it. I can't make it better. There's nothing I can do that would be like, oh, let me gloss it up a little bit. Like, to me, it's very entertaining. It's very crazy. The stories are so exciting. Mm-hmm. I can read it and get excited about talking about it all day long. And so I don't feel the need to change.
Yeah.
Will it offend people? Yes, it's always offended people. But it's not our word. It's the word of God. We aren't the judge. We aren't God. We didn't determine what's sin and what's good. Like, we're just human. And I'm reading this word, and I'm thankful that we have a good Father. And I don't feel the need to change the word.
Yeah, and your audience is mostly, and I don't want to say mostly because I don't know, but a lot of young people and a lot of college students, high school students.
For sure.
Why is it important to love people at that age and share the Lord with them early on?
Yeah, I'm super passionate about college students in particular, especially college students, but also, of course, high school and middle school. I don't want to be like,
see you in a couple of years.
I know, like, I was there. I was awkward. I get it. But, like, college for sure, because, you know, we look at the world that we live in and we want it to be a better place. Well, who the heck is going to make the world a better place if it's not us?
Yeah.
And all these college students, I mean, think about the thousands, hundreds of thousands of college students that are literally in college right now. Now, what is the purpose of college? Is it to party? No. Is it to go there and, like, be crazy and live your life? No. It's not what it's about. It's literally so that you can go get an education, right? And each and every person who gets an education is going to go out in the real world and they're going to have a job. So the idea of revival situations happening on college campuses in a group where, like, you are having the most fun of your life with young people, you're surrounded by community, if, like, that would be a place where you truly cultivate a relationship with Jesus and then individually went out into your own city, your own state, your own job, and your own field, we would look at a different world. But instead, we're using the 4 most crucial years, arguably, of, like, the next generation to waste.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what a scheme of the enemy that he would get us at that time, because college students don't think that they matter, that they have purpose, don't think they found their purpose
yet.
Oh, wake up. Your purpose is there. Like, it's right there. And just letting the Lord speak to you in that time could literally empower the world. You really would see the next generation be different. I feel like people pay more attention. So my heart to love college students is that it's to have a wake up call. It's like arise of sleeper. Like that whole idea is kind of where my desire to just preach comes from for college students, because I feel like for me, I kind of woke up to my relationship with Jesus whenever I was like 18.
Yeah.
And I was really glad that I did. And I was really glad that I didn't wake up and say, all right, good. Now I know who Jesus is. Maybe when I'm 45, I'll start a ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad I was like, all right, let's just go for it and try and see what happens. And the Lord has done way more than I could have asked for or dream of. I imagine.
He tends to do that.
He does. That's my favorite. One of my favorite verses, that his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, just as the heavens are higher.
Yeah.
Because I went skydiving one time, and whenever I was skydiving, I just started to realize, like, man, there's a lot of stuff above us. And, like, looking at it from that point of view looks a lot bigger than whenever we're on the ground. And that's how the Lord does with us. And so I don't want people to get so narrow-minded in college that they think it's only for one thing, when God's actually like, look at the big picture, I'm doing a huge thing.
Absolutely. So we talked a little bit about fear and like being reminded of truth and all those things. So what would you tell yourself or a camper or just anyone before going to a new place or before going to camp for the first time?
Yeah.
What's your advice to them?
Well, I would just say I get the fear. I literally lived up the street from camp and I would cry. I spent the night camp because I was like so afraid. Like, I
didn't know. Yes.
So I get it. But I would just say, I say this a lot, like, you know, fear is real, right? You're not crazy for feeling it. Like, there are real reasons why you feel afraid, but your peace and your joy and your excitement is on the other side of your trust in God for what he's going to do in a moment that you're afraid. I always say this, fear is conquered at the place fear is. It's the simplest thing, but it's so true. I mean, think about David and Goliath. Well, that was scary to fight a giant, but there the giant was conquered because he chose to fight. And so every time I've been afraid, the moments that I've been like, I can't do that, I don't want to do that, it freaks me out. Had I said no to those moments, nothing would have been conquered. I wouldn't have continued the movement of what God was doing in my life. Like, literally, I would have had a total different, like, trajectory of what my life was, even if I said no to going to camp back in the day.
Yeah.
But the continuation of saying yes over your fear and not letting fear run the ship of your life, you get to see God do amazing things, and you get to see God be the miraculous God that he is, and he'll do stuff in your life that you would have never thought or dreamed of or hoped for or imagined, especially at a place like camp, because he's got you. What is there to really be afraid of, right?
Yeah.
And he's going to do so much in you. It's always worth it. When you feel fear, you should just know there's a reason the enemy wants to stop me from this.
Yes. And when we're liberated, so many other people are going to be liberated.
So true.
Around us. Like, if you would have said no to camp, if you would have said no to every single thing after, like, you graduated high school, all the things that God's done through you.
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy. My life is, like, completely different. It's really cool. My mom told me this one time. She's like, because I would get, like, overthinking things. Like, well, what if God's trying to tell me this? So, because something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, I would think, like, fear. Like, I'm afraid because I'm protecting myself.
Yes.
Which is definitely a sick thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But my mom was like, God does not give fear. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear. He even says that in the Bible. He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and a sound mind. And so when we feel fear, that doesn't come from God. In fact, when God called most people in the Bible to go to places that were scary, God started with don't be afraid.
Yes.
He did it to Moses. He did it to Joshua. He did it to so many people in the Old Testament. Hey, don't be afraid.
Knowing, like, that it's going
to
be scary.
I'm about to call you to something. It's going to be scary. Like, it's not going to shock you that it's scary. Just heads up, don't be afraid.
Yes.
And so, like, when God calls you to something or you feel called to do something, let's say it's camp, say it's college, say it's whatever it is, it's like, okay, this is scary, but God doesn't say be afraid because it's scary. He says don't be afraid.
Yes.
Be strong and courageous, for he is with you. And I think that really changes my mindset when it comes into scary things, that, okay, you know, God would say don't be afraid. And he doesn't just say don't be afraid. He's like, don't be afraid because I'm with you. You have no reason to be afraid.
Yeah, he's not saying I'm sending you out on
your
own. But
yeah.
we're doing this together, me and you, you and me. Like,
for sure.
We have the same union as the Father and the Son. So last question is, a lot of campers leave camp, or they leave a tour, or they leave a conference, or one of these things, and after a couple months, they start to feel low, and they start to kind of question their experience. What's your advice to them to keep running with Jesus?
Yeah, I love it. I'll say this, like, you know, people say, oh, what's the thing? They come to camp and they're like, oh, I'm on a spiritual high.
Yes.
I'm like, forget the spiritual high. Like, you have to make sure you're having a spiritual encounter with the Lord. There's a big difference between a spiritual high and a spiritual encounter. You know, you can look at the story of Moses with the burning bush. If it was a spiritual high, he would have been like, oh my gosh, that bush is burning. And then, like, left and been like, that just happened. Mm-hmm. But instead, like, Moses was there with the fire and, like, had this really amazing relationship with the Lord and asked these hard questions. I mean, it was not cute. Moses was, like, so insecure. He was so afraid.
Honest.
He was, like, so honest and vulnerable with the Lord. And the Lord used that. And, like, the Lord was kind of frustrated with Moses, too. Like, come on, man. Like, I made you. Like, I know what I'm doing. I know I'm here. But, like, there's such an honest relationship that went on with that. And from that encounter, mm-hmm. Moses, this insecure man who's afraid, led an entire generation out of slavery. I mean, what? That's crazy. Because he, like, stayed in the moment. Like, it was a true encounter, and he left different. He left with a mission. He left on purpose for God, with God. And so for us, I mean, when we're in a conference situation, on a tour situation, at a camp, say it's Camp Shioka, hope it is, when you're here and you're recognizing what God's doing, don't just recognize it and get hype about it. Lean into it and be real about it, because the hype is not going to last. I mean, the minute you get in your car, hype's gone. Like, you might be
so...
Oh,
I miss my friends and I'm tired. That's what happens.
You'll get in your group text and you'll be like, shoot, like, best bar ever. And it'll be great. And then you'll get home and you'll take a nap and then you'll be like, okay, now what? But
yes.
If you have those real and vulnerable, honest conversations with the Lord and you decide, I'm going to leave here with you, God. Whatever I do from here, it's with you, God. Like, you're going to give me the strength to do it. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go on to preach. You don't have to go on to write books. You don't have to go on to do ministry. Whatever you do is ministry. So whether you go into junior year of high school, you go start cleaning cars to make some money, you go to college, you're still doing your major, like, you're taking God with you. That's when you know it's an encounter. And so I think the way that I would tell people in that moment is not to really speak to the moment when it happened 6 months later, speaking to you before you go to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pay attention to that, because that is really what's going to determine where you're going to go from there. And things are going to be rocky. Moses and them walked for 40 years after that. And there was a lot of up and downs. But he stuck with God. He made mistakes, but he stuck with God. And I think that's the important thing to know. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to sin. You're human. But stick with God.
Yeah.
And that'll change your whole life.
It's powerful that you said to lean into it. Because a lot of the times on a prayer night or a spiritual activity or whatever it is, we see the beauty of it, we're touched, but we won't go to that hard place in prayer.
Go.
And we have to go to the hard place and pray the hard prayer for transformation to begin and for it to be lasting.
Yep, you won't regret it. You really won't. You're going to be so nervous. If your heart is pounding, talk. Like, that, like, you need to say it. It'll be worth it.
Yeah, don't choose the fear, but we'll pray. But thank you so much for being on. Jesus, we thank you so much that you've brought us here together and that you've given us this place to grow up in this place to pursue you, and this place to get to know you. And Lord, we pray over everyone that drives up that driveway, that they would leave changed, that they would leave transformed, that they would leave renewed. Lord, we pray for the grace to pray the hard prayers, the grace to go to the hard places and to discover you in the ways that we're calling, or that you're calling us. Lord, I pray that we would not give into fear, but that we would know the spirit that you have placed in us, the callings that you have on our lives, and that we would keep saying yes with confidence that you are going to move mountains and make all things happen that are for your good and for your kingdom. Lord, we pray that you would strip us of the things that hold us from you, the things that keep us from following you in the bold and beautiful ways, and that all of our campers would just feel liberated and feel enlightened to be who you made them to be, and that they would know how loved they are, that they would know that they are chosen and they are seen and they are heard, and that they would just have courage and the wisdom and the discernment to keep following you all the days of their lives, beyond just being a teenager, beyond just being at camp, but for every single day that you have them here on this earth. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank y'all so much for listening. Since the kingdom is not built in the media room, it is our hope that you take these ideas into real life conversations with friends, family, and the Lord. Be sure to find us anywhere you can scroll at Camp Chioka and live knowing that you are loved.